You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Oh, well, we've had a minor panic. Phoebe is in here, and Don said the doc must be on. Dr. Ben Fordham, MD, managing Don. Dr. Ben, MD, and Don said, obviously, the doc's coming on because Phoebe's here, and Phoebe gets a bit of a twitter when the doc's on. And I said, no, the doc was on last week, so we've just texted the doc, and blow me down, Don. He'll be ringing
and
in
don't
shortly.
Don't use the plural we. It was I that was in a flap. You.
Oh, you're never in a flap.
No, that's right, because you are the control freak, and it's out of your control,
no,
and
Don,
you're now in trouble.
No, Don, you are spot on. You come here and you sit on your ass.
You do nothing.
You do absolutely
that's
nothing.
That's the only way this works.
Well, you said I'm in a flap, so if I'm not in a flap and we just don't have the doc ring in, or he rings in and I can't put him to air, it doesn't affect you, because you just get in that little thing you call your car and you drive home.
Well, that's the only reason Fiona's in. I see the doctor's on today. She uses the excuse of the traffic on the freeway or the bridge coming over, too heavy, I'm not coming in today.
Now, last week...
The traffic was unbelievable this morning, but she wove her way over that Westgate Bridge and knocked people over, and she came to a screeching halt out the front of this...
Don, I would say the traffic is actually quite light on the Westgate today.
It was horrendous.
No, it was quite light on the Westgate coming into the city, which makes me suspect a lot of people are having maybe an extra day off.
Do you realise the month of March...
April.
We work 16 or 17 days in total. Australia is rooted. We have so many
language
bloody holidays. Well, it is.
Oh,
you tell me. We
on,
do
Fiona's
not work.
Here.
We do not work at all.
So it's in
we
a state of disrepair. Don't
we
say
are hopeless
rooted.
In Australia.
No,
we think
fucked.
The world owes us a living. We do not get off our asses and work.
Don.
Young people, there's no substitute.
I'm trying to get this in
yes.
before the doc rings because I've panicked. This is not shout-out time, but this is to do with Don. This is michaelchristianmenswear.com, up your bum. He says, could I ask Johnny, I presume that's me because you keep calling me Johnny, to shout out as I love listening to him and Don from Ramilio, Kaffiri in Tuart Hill, Western Australia. This is not the reason I'm reading this out necessarily. Also to Nick Monaghan from Oyen, Vic, who wears the SAS bucket hat while checking his sheep every day. That's, yes, go
now,
ahead.
Now, I went on for some reason to see how many listeners we had to this show. And do you know somebody is selling? You cannot be serious. They're a dark hat, a giggle hat, or
really
with you cannot be serious across it.
Da 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 da. Mick Christian, if you're listening to this, that is registered. That name, you get on. I think it is. Mick says it is. Mick, get on to find out who's selling bucket hats with "You cannot be serious" on it against us. We have the rights to that. You told me. Unless you were speaking crap. So anyhow, there we've alerted.
And the other thing I picked up whilst I was there,
and
on the website, do you realise that you can pick up this, what do we say, Podbean, Spotify and something else?
iTunes.
Well, there's Apple. There's Podtail. Australia Podcast. Yep. Player FM. Podchaser. Surely. Podcast Addict. Something in New Zealand. Radio New Zealand Podcast. Reponic, Oil Tail, no, Owl Tail, and something up, Omni FM and Podcasts Online. We are on everything.
Gee, I nearly put... So and
why,
I hadn't, I
we had, never get a kickback from those people.
I hadn't finished reading out... This is the reason I'm reading this. And a listener from America says, is it possible to get an address to send some soap to Don Scott from the States?
Solvol.
Hang on, Don. He was whining about no bars of Solvol soap, and the US has a version called Lava. Want to send a box to the aging peacock? That's you. He wants to. So we're going to have to
I thought you were going to talk about another peacock.
Well, you could well speak about another peacock. We can't speak as intimately as you can because, as I understand it, you were track and square with a peacock some time ago. That might be just a rumour or innuendo. Innuendo is that's not a double entendre. Innuendo. Now that's just one word. Now Solvol, so Lava, and they want to. So we'll give. Why can't
you know
the man send the,
when I went looking,
send the soap to Mick Christian?
Well, you know, at Bunnings when I went inquiring, the assistant said they've stopped making. Now listen to this explanation as to why they're not making Solvol. It's so abrasive on the machines. Abrasive on the machines making Solvol. Like they've been making it for 100 years.
Don't worry.
And they've just worried about the abrasiveness of the product on their machines.
Don't worry.
Hence they stopped making it.
Don't worry about your aught when you're washing yourself with it.
Well, you don't put it on your aught. Jeez, that'd scratch.
But if you want to get...
You only use it on your hands for grease.
Well, you might be a grease monkey and have it over your legs and your body because you've been under a truck or something and you've been got grime on you and then you have you wash your... Wash the plums and the aught with it. God almighty, you rip them off.
What, run amok with the grease gun, do you reckon?
The what?
Grease gun.
What, the grease... Is that another name for the grease gun? You're lucky you're here, Phoebe, because I was another name I was going to give the junket pumper. No, but that's they use that when they're making
next topic.
Krispy Kremes use them. They put the hole in it and pump the stuff into them with the one implement.
Next topic. Right. Did anyone watch any footy over the weekend?
Oh, well, Phoebe, we talked
about
it.
You've just
can't. Come
if
in.
If you rocked up on time,
yeah. You know what?
We've exhausted our football.
Either of you have got any topics today. I'm really concerned about what's going on.
You
here.
You get
about topics. I've got 100 topics.
I know Don's got none.
don't use his line.
Oh, God. 100 topics, Phoebe.
That's a bad attempt to keep us online, Fiona.
I'm trying to get you two to keep moving forward.
Well, let's get on. So before... No, I'll just read out the other shadows.
Oh, no,
Ben,
no more.
No, Ben is... These are the people at the function. These are the people at the function, the Anzac Day function that I was at that I was meant to comp. Joe.
Oh, Joe.
Joe is a lawyer. And he said the people he deals with at court, he said... You wouldn't believe how stressful his job is, but he loves getting in the car on Wednesday, driving home, listening
at the podcast.
Yes,
he hasn't Travis, got a life. Jeez, these people, I feel sorry
Travis
for.
Travis was at the function. Oh, he's Travis. An insurance broker, and he said he loves it.
Travis.
And there's another man who pulled me up at the lights.
Oh, did he?
He wound the window down and I thought he's going to abuse me. And his name's Steve. And he said and he had a car full of kids. Don, shut up. And he said, could you pull over? I'd like to have a photograph of you and my kids.
For the podcast.
He said he likes the podcast.
Oh, no.
And he knows your girlfriend. So you listen to Don, will you? You've got something wrong with
And I got one from Luke. Now, Luke is an intelligent man. So he's a Hawthorn supporter and he listens to the podcast. He went down in my estimation, Luke.
So anyhow, Steve. I pulled my car over.
Where'd you meet Steve?
I'm at the traffic lights, I just told you. And he said, could I have a photograph of you and my kids?
So do you stop
so
at the lights
he
and get
his young kids, he got his young daughter out and I said, here we go. Yeah, sure, hang on now, shut up. Come on now. Come on. Please. Hello? Oh, fuck. Hello? Please, God. Why can't I hear? Come on. Phoebe?
Oh,
can you
God,
hear me,
I
Doc?
I haven't laughed like this for years.
Shelley. What, Doc? Can you hear me? Please, God.
He's in Sydney. Get outside. Speaker, he might
can
hear.
Can you hear me, Doc? Can you hear me?
Where's Mike?
Oh, Jesus.
Everyone's been cancelled.
Hang on, Doc.
Well, I haven't got him in my earphones.
Speaker. Hey, Shelley, can you get the Doc?
I'm here.
Hello? Hello? No, I can't hear him.
We've got nothing. Come on, Johnny, get organised.
Jesus, just a minute. Doc, what's happened? Doc?
It's all connected.
It's not.
It is. It's all connected. So it
Doc, it's you.
Is there anything that can hear it now?
No, we've got nothing in the earphones.
It should be on, shouldn't it?
The phone or the Bluetooth?
Oh, I didn't have the phone up. Hello, Doc?
Yeah, loud and clear.
Oh,
I didn't have the volume on the roadcaster turned up. You were on mute.
Oh, why wow, don't you hate
Shelley,
it?
Shelley, thank what? You, Shelley.
Oh, God.
Holy Shelley. Mackerel, that's extreme.
Can you make a phone call, Doc, and get Rod Law back, please?
Gee whiz.
Yeah, well, I mean, he was cancelled, wasn't he? Cancel culture got Rod Law. Cancel culture got the better of Mike Sheehan. Has Ivan been cancelled or has he just
Ivan, is he shitty? He got he's upset with the officials over in Perth, the airport officials. They delayed the flight. He's not here. He is causing a ruckus.
No, Dr. Ben, MD. Ivan,
can I just, you know, I like to sing on this podcast because I don't do it on my radio show. Ayo. Daylight come and you won't go home.
Harry Belafonte.
He's passed away at 96.
He must have been 26 when he released that song, do you think? It was about 50
odd. Is that the banana song? Mr. Tallyman, tally me banana.
Daylight come and you won't go home.
Great big thing, hide the deadly black tarantula.
Yeah,
sorry, Doc.
Yeah, no, he was the first person to sell 1 million records. So before Elvis Presley came along, and his timing was pretty good because then Elvis came along and broke all of the records, but an incredible bloke and 96 years of age and very opinionated as well. He even had a go at Barack Obama at one stage, and Barack Obama didn't really take too kindly to all of that, but a very interesting character and some great music. So at some stage today, everyone should play a little bit of Harry Belafonte.
Well, you've done it for us, Doc. And while we're on people who have passed away, what do you make of the great saga about the great Barry Humphries being precluded from having his name put on a... can you believe that this goes on and on? The Barry Award
has been... Well,
have a listen
to this. I've got a copy of an email that Barry Humphries sent on the 1st of October 2020 when everyone was going out there and cancelling J.K. Rowling, who wrote the Harry Potter books. A bloke started a petition to support J.K. Rowling. Barry Humphries put his name on the petition and he sent an email to the bloke who started it saying, "Thanks for your letter. I've been banned by the Melbourne Comedy Festival. ! I've been attacked and branded fascist and transphobic by the They Brigade and accused of racism by people who've probably never met an Aborigine. Thanks for writing to me and good luck against a powerful foe. Sincerely, Barry Humphries." I mean, this is one of our greatest entertainers of all time. He's had a worldwide representation as far as the UK, the United States of America and other parts of the world. Dame Edna, Sir Les Patterson, just a brilliant performer, and the knuckleheads at the Melbourne Comedy Festival, the woke warriors thought that they were better than him because he expressed opinions they didn't like, even though comedy is supposed to be confrontational. They cancelled him, and I've had a real joy in watching them tie themselves in knots this week because they said, "Oh, well, of course we'll honour him in some way," and then they went, "Oh, no, we can't because we cancelled him." And then they said, "Oh, well, individual comedians can if they so wish." I mean, what a bunch of losers. You can't uncancel a bloke just because he's dead.
And they succumbed to international pressure because this came from London, not Australia.
miserable, sad, lonely people who have got nothing better to do with their lives because they're insignificant, push back on a man who was the king of parody and satire and just only said that maybe trans people, it was a fashion, and then got the living suitcase kicked out of him. And yet the irony is that there is a swath of transgender comedians now vying for these awards. The award that was once known as the Barry Award was now given some ridiculous title like the Melbourne International Comedy Festival Award, the MICFA. Seriously, why do we listen or put up with that nonsense?
And they need to realise, the people who were responsible for this, that whatever their comedy is, if you can call it that, it'll be deemed inappropriate in 50 years from now. That's the way the world works. So, you know, John Cleese was good on this. He came out yesterday on 3AW talking to Ross and Russell, and he came out and just said, I just don't think these people have got a comedy bone in their bodies. And we saw it with John Cleese, because we know that his famous performances have also been cancel cultured over the years, where they've put up warnings and they said, oh, look, we can't have jokes about the Germans and things like that. I mean, that's what comedy is supposed to be. It's supposed to be uncomfortable. That's why the most successful comedians in the world in 2023 are people like Ricky Gervais and Dave Chappelle. They're people who take no prisoners and have a go, and they say what other people might be thinking, and they have a crack at everyone, gay, straight, trans, binary, non-binary, black, white, in between. It doesn't matter who you are. Comedy is supposed to be confrontational and controversial. That's what makes it great.
Phoebe, you said that there was a great pushback, didn't you? Your investigative
Well,
powers.
Ben, good morning, Ben. How are you?
Hello, Phoebe. Oh,
hello, Ben.
I'll play some romantic music here. God.
It's lovely to hear your voice, Ben. Now, the Barry Humphries issue. You are spot on. It has been extraordinary watching the Melbourne International Comedy Festival folk tie themselves in knots over the last couple of days, because their position on Saturday night when Barry Humphries, when news of Barry Humphries' passing broke, was that they acknowledged his passing, they acknowledged his career, but they said that they would not be doing anything within the festival to mark his passing. And I think people were really, well, actually, I don't think, people were shocked by that. People really were shocked by it. And it's, over the last few days, they've modified their position, and now it appears that, you know, well, they've now said that they will do some form of tribute. But the comedy festival is finished. They actually had a chance to do something on Sunday night, which was the last day of this year's Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And I just think that it's such poor form. I don't know why you wouldn't have done something.
But he was a founder of the comedy festival.
He wasn't a founder. He was Peter Cook. He was one of the first performers. He launched it. That's correct. He launched it. It's just such poor form, if you ask me.
Phoebe, there's a really simple solution to all of this. Stop cancelling people. I mean, this podcast, I think, has been at the forefront of pushing back against cancel culture. I mean, everyone and everything is cancelled these days. If we stop cancelling people because they have a different opinion, then we won't find ourselves in a scenario like the ridiculous one they now find themselves in, where they're trying to uncancel him after he's dead. The man has died. It's too late now to wake up to yourselves.
What's going on?
This is Dr. Zhivago's Somewhere My Love. This is for you and Phoebe.
Phoebe, it's lovely to be talking to you, I've got to say. I mean, it's a little bit different because we've got other people in the room and obviously millions of listeners around the world, but it's still lovely.
Ben, honestly, every second Wednesday, you're the highlight of my week.
Oh, jeez, what a week.
Thank God you've called in today, because these two are just so random and ropey this morning. It's like, thank God you're here.
Benny, can I ask you a serious question? Why does wokeism exist in Australia, England, Canada and America? I don't know about New Zealand, but why does it only exist in those countries?
Well, because we live in a privileged society, right, where we've got all sorts of luxuries that other parts of the world don't have. So we look for other things to complain about. I mean, Do you think in the developing world, do you think in Africa where people are struggling to find food, do you think in parts of Asia where there are millions of people in poverty, that they worry about political correctness and cancel culture? They don't at all, because they've got bigger things to worry about. So this is one of the spin-offs of living in an advanced society, living in the lucky country, where you've got people who are part of the elites who find other things to complain about, and generally things that don't impact them anyway. I mean, Barry Humphrey's comments weren't directed at any one individual, so there was no reason for the Melbourne Comedy Festival to get their knickers in a knot. But you know what it's like. I mean, have a look at what's happened to you guys. You say something and you find that there's someone out there who wants to complain about it. You know, I mean, the moment I have a look at my Twitter feed, I have a look at it once in a while and I kind of scroll a few things back and then I go, what are these people whinging about now? They're whinging about me because of something that I've said or something that I've done. And part of me kind of likes the fact that they're wasting their time writing to me about it, because I think, all right, well, I'm not worried about you. If you want to worry about me, do your best. And if you want to try and cancel me, then that's fine. Thankfully, we do have some companies out there and some bosses out there who back people in when they're in a spot of bother. And thankfully, I enjoy the support of my bosses. But you've just got to be reasonable about it. You don't go out of your way to go hurting people or harming people. But you want to be able to say the things that we all want to be able to say that doesn't filter our opinions. You know, I was having a conversation with some people last week over lunch, and it was a very considered conversation about issues that are facing Indigenous Australians and whether or not the Voice to Parliament proposal is going to really fix those things. And we were talking about them really, really frankly. And then there was this moment at the end of the lunch, or at the end of that part of the conversation, where one of the participants said, you know, the problem is if there was a recording of this conversation, we'd all be cancelled. Now, I can tell you there was nothing that was said in that conversation that was racist or hurtful or harmful to anyone. We were just being realistic about some of the problems that are out there, some of the terrible things that are happening to kids, some of the violence happening in Indigenous communities, and whether or not we need cashless welfare cards or grog bans and things like that. But when this individual made that point to say, well, that's the problem, you know, you're not allowed to have these conversations anymore, otherwise there's a fear that you might be cancelled, that's part of the problem. There was another great conversation. You guys should have a look at this. In the last 24 hours, there have been some big media departures in the American landscape. So Tucker Carlson gone from Fox News.
The most and successful.
This guy called Don Lemon, who's on CNN, he's been punted as well, but they reckon one of the reasons Don Lemon might have been shown the door was because of this interview that he conducted about a week ago with a Republican candidate. And there was a great moment in there where the Republican candidate, who's of Indian origin, American, says to Don Lemon, look, I don't view you as black. When I'm having a conversation like this, I'm just having a conversation between two human beings, because Don Lemon kept on saying to this guy, oh, look, I'm insulted that you would say these things to me as an African-American. And this bloke was saying, I'm not saying them to you as an African-American. I'm saying them to you from one human being to another. And can I not have these conversations with you because you are black? I want to be able to have these conversations with you regardless of who you are. And this guy, he's from Indian background and obviously now in the running for the Republican nomination in the US. I mean, everyone's pulling their punches because they're afraid that they're going to be cancelled next.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I spoke to my friend in Israel about the same thing, and his retort was, we are too busy trying to stay alive to worry about all this shit that we go on with.
It's a luxury that we have in our part of the world that they don't have in other parts of the world. Do you think that people in China, who are worried about feeding themselves, there are millions of people who are in poverty, but below the poverty line in China, do you think that they're worried about what people are saying or what people are doing? No, they're just focused on the real things that matter in life.
Incidentally, that man that you were speaking about is Vivek Ramaswamy. He's standing for the Republican nominee in the presidential election coming up in 2024. And Don Lemon...
He was really impressive. If you watch that interview, just have a look for it. And Don Lemon, he was all over the shop in that interview.
Don Lemon is a hack. He is a disgrace, Don Lemon, an absolute biased hack. Tucker Carlton was the most successful broadcaster in that country, and that is a huge call for the Murdoch family to cancel him.
Yeah, what do you reckon, Phoebe? I know this is probably a bit tricky because you're employed by the same organisation and you wouldn't be privy to what's going on there, but... You know, Fox has lost a lot of value in its share price automatically off the back of losing Tucker Carlson. They say that there might be more to the story. Because of the Dominion case, all of the text messages and emails were revealed, and some of them were suppressed because Fox's lawyers didn't want them to become public. And there's a suggestion that Tucker Carlson might have been speaking in a way in some of those text messages that was inappropriate, including the use of the C word to describe women. So this is according to some of the sources within Fox who have spoken on the condition of anonymity. But look, it's a big business decision because, as you say, Sam, the number one performer and host on Fox News, and now he's out the door. So what will he do? He'll turn up somewhere else or he'll set up his own business and have his own podcast and his own network, and he'll steal audience share away from Fox.
Well, he was the voice of the Republican Party, whether you like it or not, and I've seen those texts because they've been put out on, and he didn't call a specific... He didn't call women specifically the C word. He said there was a person that... And this was a private conversation, but those private conversations have come out and come back to bite you, but I don't think that's why he was... sacked. I think he was sacked because of the Dominion counting machines. He said that they were rigged, and that cost Fox, as a result of that, cost him about $780 million.
Yeah, mind you, he wasn't the main protagonist on Fox who was suggesting they were rigged. He did allow other people to say that on his program, and behind the scenes he was lobbying, saying this stuff is batshit, you know what. In fact, I just worked out that I tried to cover up a swear word, but I said the swear word and covered up the word crazy. But anyway, he was doing his best behind the scenes to say, look, we need to be careful here about what's being said. But anyway, he's out the door, and who knows what he'll do next. There's a chance that he might have a go at politics. Who knows? Can I give some advice? And Phoebe, you might have something to say about this, but I have some advice that I would like to give people in life in general, for any younger people out there who are carving their path and working out what they're going to do in life. I would say there are a couple of things here off the back of what we've just talked about. I don't use the C word. Now, there's a reason I don't use the C word, and that is because when I was growing up, it was made crystal clear to me by my mum and by my dad that it was not a word that they used or that I was to ever use. Mind you, there were F-bombs flying left, right and centre at various stages, not directly to us, but when we're a bit older, you know, Dad would tell us what he thought of us when we were playing up or doing the wrong thing, and we'd also listen into his phone calls, and I can tell you, I heard the F-bomb 8 million times, but I've always stuck to my principle of not using that word just because I, you know, personally, I just think it's crass and I think it's offensive. And the other lesson... Don't put things in writing. If you use words or say things that you probably shouldn't say or you wouldn't want your mother to read, Phoebe, don't put them in writing.
Yeah, but that's an old adage. Just goes back to Adam, since Adam was a boy.
No, Ben, I agree with you. I think particularly in this era of social media, just if you want to blast off about something, write it. Take a deep breath, read it, delete it, and start again.
Yes.
There is just no point in putting obscenities in text.
And you know what? You know what you need to distinguish between as well, Phoebe? You need to – sometimes someone will say to me, can you have a look at this email that I'm about to send? And I'll ring them back and say, no, that's a phone call. That's a phone call. That's not an email.
But, Doc, the great risk of that is, and I know this personally, that you can have your phone calls recorded. And then they come back to bite you.
No, but that's very rare that that happens.
No, it's not rare at all.
It is rare. I mean, you don't hear about people, you don't hear conversations, private conversations being shared in the public, you know, audio of them all that often, unless you're before
unless,
a corruption
yes,
hearing
unless
or,
someone
or police are listening in.
Unless someone wants to make a point about you, they will release what they heard when they recorded. I can play you a conversation I recorded yesterday of someone I was speaking to.
Did they know they were being recorded?
They didn't.
Well, isn't that illegal?
It is illegal. But I haven't played it to anyone. I'm just listening. I've just had it there in case whatever was said comes back and it is portrayed in a different context. And I can say, no, it wasn't said like that. So, but I have it on my own private recording device. You there? If I turn, oh, don't tell me I've cut him off.
You've turned Ben off.
Oh, fuck. What? Hello? Hello?
And is
what
when
happened
you admitted
then?
To a when you admitted to a criminal offence, the phone line just cut out.
Jesus, I turned that off by mistake.
That's okay.
I don't know what the last thing I have recorded as someone. It's not illegal unless you want to make it public, is it? If it's for my own use. Anyhow.
Well, I mean, I think there might be legal arguments sometimes that if you're protecting your own legal rights. But, Sam, I'm not in a position to offer legal advice to you, my friend.
Aren't you, Doc? Well, what about open mics or live mics when people make asides and they think they're not on air, but the camera crew or the production staff are still recording?
If you're in a room with microphones, there's a strong likelihood that your conversation is going to be recorded. So the courts often say, well, it's the same as a conversation in public. If I'm standing in public with you on a street corner somewhere and we're having a conversation and someone is recording nearby, they can argue in court, well, there's a high likelihood that anyone could have heard that conversation, so it was hardly a private conversation. But the other example you give about a comment that you might make off camera or when you think that, you know, you're having a bit of chit-chat before the interview is being recorded, that's what led to a major problem between Molly Meldrum and Sir Elton John, because during one of their interviews, Sir Elton John made a disparaging comment about Madonna lip-syncing, and he thought it wasn't part of the official interview, and I think Molly might have thought that as well, but when someone at Channel 7 was cutting up the interview, they saw the comment and went, no, we've got to put that in, so they put it in, and that's what led to the falling out between Molly and Elton.
From memory, that happened when they were doing the Noddies. So the interview had finished, and they were doing the extra bits of footage where you would see Molly ask a question or be nodding in reply to a question, and they were chatting casually while that was being done. That's my understanding. And then, of course, as you say, Ben, that those very inflammatory comments that Sir Elton John made about Madonna suddenly became the headline piece to the interview.
So why isn't that illegal, Doc?
Why isn't that illegal? If something is off the record...
It's not... Well, they haven't said that it's off the record. They're sitting there conducting a TV interview in front of a TV camera. There's a strong likelihood that you're going to be recorded.
They're not conducting an interview. The interview is over, and so then that is tantamount to saying this is off the record now because the interview is over.
They're still mic'd up.
You're still mic'd up and you're sitting in front of a TV crew conducting an interview and you know the cameras are still recording. They're literally recording for the purpose of creating content to be used in the production of the story. And look, I'm not saying it was right or it was wrong. I wasn't there, but I know that Sir Elton John didn't like it. But thankfully, Molly and Elton kissed and made up there at the MCG late last year when Molly dropped his dax.
Oh, dear.
Now, can I ask you this? There was a bit of a furor. It sounds ridiculous. What do you think about this? The ex-member for Goldstein down here, just a suburb of Melbourne, Tim Wilson, was asked by the RSL to lay a wreath at a function, and the current sitting member, Zoe Daniel, wasn't able to make it and asked a friend to stand in for her. And when the two met, the friend and the ex-member for Goldstein, Tim Wilson, met, there was a bit of a fracas about who would lay the wreath. Would you think it's fair or not fair for the sitting member to get a deputy to go and lay the wreath rather than someone the RSL asked?
Oh, look, I think it's much ado about nothing. I've read both versions of events, and ultimately it's not about Zoe Daniel and it's not about Tim Wilson. It's about Anzac Day and about the veterans who have served and are serving. And, Sam, I don't think that this is something that is going to occupy the minds of too many people.
Fair enough.
I know that they've gone to war over it, but Tim Wilson and Zoe Daniel aren't the closest of friends, and I presume that they won't be in the time ahead. But yeah, it was a great show yesterday by the AFL at the MCG.
Oh, man. Did you see Darcy Moore? Did you see that
boy? Yeah, what about the speech?
Man, that is class. That's what. And I said to Don, that's the beauty of having an articulate person who is a little educated, captaining anything in life, let alone a football side.
What about poor old Father Bob Maguire passing away? Our great mate. He's going to get a state funeral, and didn't that really rub a few noses into it after there was a debate just recently about the cost of the? And I know you spoke about it on the podcast last week. I was listening to it. About Eddie Maguire's company putting on the big thing, the big farewell for Shane Warne, and people were arguing over the cost and everything else. And sure enough, then Father Bob passes away. And what are we going to do? Appropriately, we're going to put on a state funeral, as we should.
Yeah. Now, finally, this is from me, Doc. You loaded the gun, and I've been all nervous and a twitter when you thought there might be a chance that ITA might get in touch with me after being nominated as one of the Bachelors of the Century by someone here. Mm. And you said ITA could possibly be interested, or even CAC, but ITA, anything at all surfaced up your end? Because
I can tell you that I will have some news on that in a fortnight from today.
And Jody hasn't been bad-mouthing me to her, has he?
No, not at all. Jody's a secret listener of the podcast, and I've got a feeling that in 2 weeks from now I'm going to have a bit of news on that. I've got a feeling that it's not going to involve Ida Buttrose, but it could involve the wonderful Kerri-Ann Kennelly. So just stay tuned, and I'll have some news on that. And obviously it'll be reported in the Herald Sun and the Sunday Herald Sun by Fiona. Because that'll be great news coming in 2 weeks from now.
Can we just say how great Kerri-Ann is, by the way?
She's awesome.
She's absolutely awesome. And I thought it was absolutely disgusting the way that she was treated on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here.
And what about, she's another one who was cancelled. Channel 10 cancelled Kerri-Ann because she was on that show which nobody watches. What's it called?
Studio 10.
And, you know, she was saying what she thought about things, and, of course, they don't like any controversy, so they got rid of Kerri-Ann as well. But Kerri-Ann was the first person to put me on TV and say, I want to hear your opinion. So I was working as a reporter at Channel 9. She was hosting the morning program, and she put me on a panel, and she said, you're not here to focus on the news. We want to hear your opinion. So I've always said to Kerri-Ann, now that I'm in the opinions business, I said, I'm so thankful that she gave me that opportunity. She's just a fantastic woman, and we love Kerri-Ann.
She's so wonderful. She gave me a wonderful opportunity on her show when she was on Channel 9 doing the morning show there. And I was one of her Melbourne correspondents for at least 2 years, and it was just terrific to work with her. She was fantastic. She was incredibly generous, and she imparted an enormous amount of knowledge off air.
Well, she's given me nothing, and if you could put me in touch with her, I could perhaps she might give me something.
Watch this space, ladies
by the way,
and gentlemen.
Do you know Jason Dunstall? He's called the Chief, Danny, a severe-looking man who's bald and his head goes straight into his torso, no neck, little squat legs, big, strong man who played for Hawthorn. They say he's going out now with Fifi Box. Have you heard of either of those two people?
Well, yeah, I know Fifi, and I think Fifi just made a comment that she found him attractive. I haven't heard any news that they're together.
Box's comment was that out of all the eligible bachelors, he would be the only one she'd be interested in. My comment, of course, well, she obviously hasn't met me.
Ben, can I just make the point she was looking at this list of eligible bachelors here in Melbourne, of which Sam was on that list.
Yes.
And so she clearly was looking at the choice, which included you and bypassed you.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
It was a very limited field that she was selecting from.
Don, it's sounding like Sam's jealous of Jason Dunstall. Is that what you're picking up on?
No, Don.
He's a lonely man, a very, very lonely man.
Very lonely.
Going through a trying time in life, and he's adjusting and trying to.
No, I'm not jealous of the Chief. I love the Chief.
No, but I think you need something else in your life. Somebody.
Yeah, Miss Box.
I'm not sure that Fifi is keen, but Kerri-Ann may be. I will have some news on that in 2 weeks. I'm going to have to love you and leave you, and I'll be listening back to this.
Good on you, Doc. You're a star.
Love you, Fifi.
Bye, Ben.
See you soon, Fifi.
Dr. Shivago's somewhere,
you
my
hang
love.
Up first. Fifi, you hang up first.
Sam's trying to work out how to use the phone.
I am. You hang up, Doc, because that'll make it go click down our end.
He doesn't know how to use the phone.
Right. Is it click? There it is. It's clicked. I think we're all off. Aren't we? Are we off? Oh, who knows? All right. Well, how... Fifi. Thank God.
I wanted to ask him about the voice. He's an opinionated
man. Well, why
man
didn't you?
Because you two were going full tilt.
I wasn't going full tilt.
Don, you were sitting there waiting for a coffee.
Don't you start. I tell you what.
Don, the voice, our official position is that we don't agree with the voice. That's our official position.
No. Hang on, official. I'd like to know a little bit about the voice.
No, well, we search
and
ridiculous.
And I was going to ask the doc because he seems a very worldly man.
It'll end up being a push that they'll restrict us from news going into any other... Well, you can't walk up Ayers Rock these days.
Haven't done that for years.
And why?
Well, it's a sacred site.
Well, why has it suddenly become sacred? It has been there for 60,000 years.
People have got a voice now.
That's exactly the right. They just push and push and push. And there's plenty of people, Indigenous people, coming out and saying the voice is ridiculous. It's just a white man's apology to placate their own prejudices. And it makes them feel good, as that man, Alex Antic, said from a South Australian Parliament. Absolutely spot on he was. Now, Phoebe, I don't know that you'd want to get involved in that. So will we keep going? We'll keep going.
No. I'd like a break.
No, well,
I'm a bit tuckered.
We've got the man coming in.
What man?
I'm going to read out what?
Oh, nothing.
What are you saying,
I was
Phoebe?
Just looking how long you've been going for.
Yeah.
Oh, keep us in line, Phoebe. No,
I'm going to read.
Jesus. I have to make a phone call.
Yeah.
Well, oh, you've got to make...
Well, Don. I'm just going to read this out to you. This is to do with you. Remember last week we said the Bureau of Meteorology are fudging their figures.
No, you said it.
The data, that's right, because that was a report, that was a study.
Mm, yeah.
And this girl, woman, my dad has worked for the bomb.
You've already told us this story. She fronted you, very funny lady, and she took you to task.
No, I didn't tell you that story. She said... He has worked for the Bureau of Meteorology and been to Antarctica twice. He'd love to come onto your show to discuss climate change. And I said, get him on. And she said, after numerous attempts at convincing him, he has gotten stage fright. And I said, well, we're pussycats. He said, I'm sorry, the podcast is great. I'll keep persisting. And this is mentioned Brendan. This is his name, Brendan. Come on the podcast and have your say. So we're inviting Brendan to come on.
And Brendan, who works for the Bureau, does he?
Yes, he used to. And we think climate change, I do, is an absolute hoax. And the best example of that is by the book, the man we interviewed called William Kenninmonth, who wrote a book called Climate Change, a Natural Hazard, and he said this is absolute nonsense, what is going on in this world today about climate change and the bomb. William didn't say this, but the bomb have no reason. They do have a reason to change their data because it's a political push to gain funding for all their particular aspects of commerce they want to engage in. That's what I'm saying. And can I tell you this, Phoebe? Phoebe, I'll tell you this, Don. You're talking about polluting the world. Did you know, and don't think I'm saying this, did you know that the 15 biggest tankers in the world, the oil tankers that go around the world carrying oil,
Ships, you mean?
Yep, 15 biggest tanker ships in the world emit more carbon into the atmosphere than every single car on the planet. on a daily basis. So every single car doesn't emit as much pollution into the air, carbon emissions, as the 15 biggest tankers that ply their way around the world carrying oil to all the different countries. So seriously, and you know how many tankers there are in the world? There'd be tens of thousands of tankers in the world, but the 15 biggest put all the cars to shame.
Talking about big ships, I came up along the Esplanade today and tied at the dock. Is it Victoria Dock down here? Or Station Dock? Station Pier?
Yes, Station Pier.
There was a Navy ship.
Yes.
And it's painted grey.
Yes.
Doesn't it blend in? You wouldn't think the colour grey...
blends in with the wharf.
The wharf, the sky, the sea.
Do you think there'd be a reason for that, Don? So the enemy can't spot
them. Well, I'm just saying the colour grey, you wouldn't think that would
think they
be.
Have an iridescent green ship so that everyone could see it from 100 miles away.
I've just painted my roof at home. It's called Monument, the colour I painted, which is a dark grey, black colour. And it blends in so well with the trees. It's amazing that it's not black, it's a grey. And it just blends in so well where you think it should be green.
That's why people wear camouflage gear when they go into the jungle because it's meant to blend in with them.
But I'm talking about the colour grey.
What did you notice?
You wouldn't think a colour grey would blend in with the sea, would you?
Yeah,
the sky.
It's bland, like you. Did you notice the shape of the ship? Tell us the pertinent
shape. Well, it was
a
very interesting, very high in the front.
Why?
Well, obviously to break the waves,
no,
I should
absolute
imagine.
Absolute rubbish, Don.
Okay, well, tell me.
It's to launch the jets. That's not an
aircraft carrier.
It's used for Harrier jump jets, and it's used to sling. It's used to sling the planes. It's angled at 45 degrees.
Yeah, that's right.
It's used to sling the planes into the air to give them a head start.
So how do those planes land? Where do they land?
They land on the ship.
Where?
Harrier jump jets.
I'm going to look at this on the way
home. Harrier jump jets can turn their jet engines up vertically and they land like helicopters.
Oh, really?
But to take off, they need a little impetus, and that gives them the impetus by going up that ramp, and it flings them into the air until the jets take over.
I'm going to stop and have...
Phoebe, it's exciting, isn't it?
I've learned something. And our little possum wasn't there today on the Esplanade coming in.
Well, I'm told there's two people now camping there.
No. Nobody there this morning.
Well, I'm told there's two people camping there now at the minute. So that's the compost heap and a friend, and they're
the
now.
The possum.
We'll close off if you like, but I wanted to mention one other thing. So here's Mattel. Let me read out what Mattel are doing. And the reason I'm doing this is Mattel.
What are Mattel? They're toy makers.
They're toy makers. They are bringing out.
What?
Mattel are bringing out. Now just let me read it in case you think I'm... Mattel are bringing out a new Down syndrome Barbie doll.
You're not serious.
I'm serious, and they're bringing out a new Down syndrome Barbie doll. Mattel says the new doll's face is a rounder shape and has almond-shaped eyes, smaller ears, and a flat nasal bridge. The doll's palms even include a single line, a character often associated with those with Down syndrome, the company said. Now, I don't if Mattel want to bring out a Down syndrome doll, because there's plenty of dolls, they'll have transgender dolls and LGBT, all that. Where does that start and end?
How many dolls have Mattel made?
Well, Phoebe, who has now left the microphone because this is a bit of a touchy subject and she doesn't want to be involved in it, she said they have about 150 dolls. She's nodding. She can hear this, but she's not engaging in the conversation because...
She's very wise.
Because her employee...
Yeah. Nick Papps?
Nick. Nick. And he might even mention us and say that he heard it on You Cannot Be Serious.
No, no, no.
So where does it start and end with Mattel? Do you think that... What happens if they actually bring out a doll that's an amputee doll that has no legs and no arms and it's just a head? You just go and pick up the head, and they say, "Why? What is that?" And they say, "Well, that's we've made an amputee doll in case people have missing limbs, and we've covered all bases. So if you've got an arm missing, or both arms, or two legs, here's just a head. Just put that in your pram." Where does it start and end on?
They could bring out an armless woodcutter.
What? What about a point? Have you brought out?
Haven't you heard about the armless woodcutter?
No, go ahead, Don. Is this a humorous joke?
Well, he shoved the axe up his ass and turned somersaults.
Did you set that up properly? Set it up again, Don. Say, go, set this. Shove the axe up. Mattel. Oh God. Why don't they bring out? If they ever bought out, the biggest industry that's downloaded on social platforms is what?
Pornography.
Pornography. Why don't Mattel?
Is that right? Did I get it
right? Absolutely. Pornography is the most downloaded subject, or if you like, or downloaded vision on social platforms or the media, or all that shit. So, Don, why doesn't Mattel embrace the people who watch porn? Why don't they bring out pornographic Barbie dolls or Mattel dolls?
That's already covered with the blow-up dolls, isn't it?
No, Mattel don't bring out blow-up dolls.
Have you got a blow-up doll in your car?
In my car? No, I haven't got one. I got one bedroom. I've got one.
No, but you could put the doll beside you as a passenger, and you could go in a particular lane on the freeway.
I frightened the life out of the people in the flat next door. I had the door open, and I had the doll blown up, and I bit it on the nipple, and it.
It blew around the room.
It took farted off like a and flew out the window. So that they just saw this huge thing just. So why didn't they bring out pornographic Barbie dolls? They could have Ken and Barbie could be doing horrendous things.
You could become the creative director at Mattel.
Seriously. Anyhow, that's what Mattel are doing. So
that'll do. I want to.
All right. Well, we'll finish that. There was one of the... Oh, yeah, no. That's all right. We'll finish that. And we're waiting for our guest, who is Rick Lewis. He's here. I didn't see them walk in. So we're winding this up now. That was Phoebe, who was great, and the doc from Sydney, who we didn't realise we got away with that, Don, after we got Shelley to come down and work the machine. And you told us the axe cutter joke about the bloke who did somersaults, and it's been a winner.